When it comes to your sales stack, stop tool hopping and start winning with Nux. Simplify your outbound today at nux.ai/salesgravy. That's nooks.ai/salesgravy.
This is the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, best-selling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Objections, Sales EQ, and Inked, and I'm here to help you open more doors, close bigger deals, and rock your commission check.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Sales Gravy Podcast. On this episode, we have two of my favorite people in the world. The first is Dr. Lorenzo Bizzi, who is the award-winning business of business strategy from Cal State Fullerton. And then over here to my left is the great, the wonderful, the awesome Bryn Tillman, who is the CEO and founder of Social Sales Link and also known as the LinkedIn Whisperer, and is also my co-author on our brand new book, The LinkedIn Edge. And we've got Dr. Bizzi on because we've been together before and our last podcast just came out. People love it. But I mean, you're an amazing man. You've got so many great ideas around sales and strategy. We just thought we would spend some time talking about LinkedIn and maybe even how your students are using LinkedIn, how you're teaching LinkedIn, and talk a little bit about the LinkedIn Edge. I think you've read the book, or hopefully you have, so we can all have a good conversation about it. And just kind of dive into how a business platform like LinkedIn that Bryn says and talks about all the time is the largest self-updating database of business professionals anywhere has become a core part of our lives as salespeople. So Dr. Bizzi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeb. It is a pleasure to be back here with you. I did read the book and I found it fantastic. There's one message in particular that I think resonates and can resonate very much with the audience. And it's the idea that LinkedIn does not just make prospecting more effective, but it makes it easier. Now, that's an extremely important point, and I'd like to elaborate on this and hear what you have to say about it. But the fact that research shows that before making a cold call, heart rate, perspiration, blood pressure increase, people feel very anxious. Now, what I like about LinkedIn is that because of email messaging, better qualification, better research that makes you feel more comfortable, prospecting is not just more effective, but it's becoming less effortful. It's becoming easier. So it's encouraging people to do something that historically is people hate. Am I right?
I think you're exactly right. I think that the one thing, especially for people who are reluctant with prospecting, it gives you the comfort of, hey, I know them a little bit, or I've got more information about them, or it's really easy to do some research. And a number of the AI prompts that are in the book allow you to gather up some personal information about them that you're able to use to just better relate to them. And one of the frameworks in the book, the hook relate framework, allows you to hook them with something that tells you that you got some information about them and then relate to them in their particular situation. And by the way, they're telling you what their situation is because they're posting crap about it all day long.
Yes, absolutely. And what I think is great that you also mentioned in the book is the idea of these warm touch points that allow you to simplify the cold call. This idea that you can add them before, you can like a post, you can comment on a post, you can reshare a post. Then when you make a cold call, it's easier to establish a conversation and it becomes less likely that you get rejected. Or even if you get rejected, that's not going to be a painful rejection, because another element that research shows is that it's not really the rejection rate that hurts, but how badly people are rejected. But people insult you, that feels really bad. And I feel LinkedIn, you know, these beautiful warm contact points allow you to lubricate the relationship at a social lubricant that facilitates the conversation.
We talk about building familiarity. But Bryn, last week, I get an email from the head of sales of a large Fortune 100 company. I actually sent it to JBJ. And said, tell your dad this. But he bought the LinkedIn Edge for all his salespeople. And the reason he bought it, he said this, is because he said it's the first LinkedIn book that leads with a phone first focus. And I felt comfortable giving it to my salespeople because that's what we teach. Pick up the phone and have conversations with people. So walk us through how, like, LinkedIn Navigator or LinkedIn Premium or the work that you do on LinkedIn allows BDRs, SDRs who are primarily prospecting by phone to leverage the phone better as they interrupt, engage, and convert into pipeline opportunities.
There's so many ways to use Sales Navigator, but from a BDR or SDR perspective, a lot of this is how do we identify pathways in or what we have in common, or are there conversation starters that we can use based on content they've shared or they've engaged on? Sales Navigator allows us to see if they had a recent job change or if something's actually happening inside of the organization. So when we're reaching out, it's not starting with, let me tell you how I can sell you, but it's, let me tell you a little bit about what I found about you and why I think this conversation would matter. And so that's a big difference. It may take a few more minutes in that pre-call planning mode, but it transforms the conversation and people feel like you took the time to learn about them. Maybe it's even mentioning that we have some shared connections. It's just warmer and makes that new cold approach easier to relate to and to connect with.
I think that we have to all square this with the fact that there are many, many sales teams out there that are doing high velocity prospecting. And, you know, taking 10 minutes in between a call to do research is just not going to work because they have massive databases. They have a huge pressure from their organization to create pipe. And so they've got to very quickly, like, be able to create messaging on the fly. I mean, the average phone call is 30 seconds long. Like, we're not having long conversations. You interrupted someone in the middle of their day. They probably weren't happy about it. And you've got to very quickly say something that is going to either get them to give you an objection or convert them immediately into a pipeline opportunity. So, you know, Dr. Busy, you've got a point, right? A lot of people are afraid of that. Like, it causes amazing stress and angst to do that. And Bryn's got a point in that the more information that we have, the more we're able to relate to them, step into their shoes, see things in perspective. That makes the conversation warmer. But the modern sales organization, the modern CRO, the head of sales, they don't necessarily always have the luxury of allowing their salespeople to have that kumbaya moment. So how do we thread the needle in between those two things using a tool like LinkedIn and combining LinkedIn like with tools like ZoomInfo that allow us to expand our you know, our knowledge base of how to contact people, those type of things? How are we able to square that in those situations where people just don't have the luxury of moving slow? Let me put this in the context of, if you're an organization and your pipe is empty, it's like trying to walk around the world and not have enough oxygen. Like that's how it feels. So I'm just curious, like, what's the balance point for modern sales professionals?
Well, I think your book discusses an issue that I think is fundamental. And the fact that you need to have both fast prospecting and slow prospecting. Now, Jeb, you mentioned that important point, the idea that when the pipe is empty, that's when people spend time going on LinkedIn, connecting, developing content. And that is a mistake because at the same time, you have to do the fast prospecting, the outreach, where, by the way, I think you're also mentioning an extremely important point, which is AI can enormously assist the ability of making cold calls so that you can find immediate and very efficiently content that can push the conversation. But you need to have both at the same time because they reinforce each other. So it's essential to have the slow prospecting, creating content using LinkedIn with eventual inbound calls. And at the same time, this is where the balance is, having both of them because they reinforce each other. And it's a very, very powerful concept, the idea that you need both at the same time to do fast prospecting where AI can support your LinkedIn content and can support your ability to have conversation, and slow prospecting, which you build credibility that is going to increase your conversion rate than when you have conversations.
And I think, Bren, that Dr. Busy makes a brilliant point there, is it's when sales organizations learn to be able to row both ways at the same time. Like, it's the intersection Absolutely. Of the fast and slow where you can explode your earning potential, because you're playing the short game. I got to breathe today. While looking at the long game, I've got to weave my way into opportunities. We spend time in the book talking about multi-threading, looking at stakeholders, understanding job changes. And when I look at fast prospecting, which is basically you got to interrupt somebody, you got to get them engaged quick, and you got to convert them into a pipeline opportunity. We're setting meetings. You think about the things that LinkedIn can do for you, which I think are powerful. One is it can help you build better lists. Because when you're doing prospecting fast, like, the better your list, the better your outcome. So Bren talks about all the searches that you can do to create lists, understanding who you want to call. And by the way, not just like your ICP overall, but your ICP today. Because your ICP in the fourth quarter, for example, when we're talking right now, is different than maybe your ICP in the first quarter. And ICP is your ideal customer profile. LinkedIn is brilliant for helping you dial into that. And by the way, keep it going. And then when I think about like the cold calling piece specifically around moving fast, I think about using LinkedIn touches to support a fast prospecting sequence. So LinkedIn is a nuanced space, and Bren will be the first to tell you, like, you can, there's some bad behavior and you can get yourself in trouble fast. But if you think, like, I call Bren and I leave you a voicemail message, and then I send you a LinkedIn direct message, and I say, hey, I left you a voicemail message. If I use that once in my sequence, it's not overbearing. I didn't do anything dumb. I already have a connection with you, so I can leave you that. And that would remind you to go back and listen to the voicemail message. And when I pair that with an email, or if I'm a field salesperson, a door swing, or even snail mail, I'm able to pull all that together. If I go to your profile and I put up just a profile touch, or I go like one of your posts and I'm running that through a fast sequence, I'm leveraging the power of LinkedIn to build that familiarity that you were talking about, Dr. Busy, with long game strategies, but it allows me to get prospects to engage. The thing is that the slow prospecting techniques, right, the relationship building techniques, they don't translate very well into fast prospecting, because that's when people make stupid mistakes like dumb connection requests.
The connect and pitch. Well, so the connect and pitch is an attempt at fast prospecting that fails. I love what you said, and I want to flip it and say, in the voicemail, tell them that you're going to be reaching out and connecting with them on LinkedIn, right? So I'm leaving you a voicemail, and then, you know, I'm also going to connect with you on LinkedIn. Now, if your profile is positioned correctly, that's your landing page. Your profile should be built to convert. Your profile should be that page that when they get there, they're like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, I want more of that. So that I am more likely to want to return that call or accept that connection request. And so maybe I don't return the call, but I accept the connection request. That's a trigger to call back, right? Like, fast, don't wait. They liked it enough, right? There are a lot of ways to leverage the two together that warm it up. And I really believe that when you leave that message saying, you know, I'm checking you out on LinkedIn, they get to really get to know you at their time frame. So yes, we interrupted, but once it's a voicemail, it's now their time frame. It just is, right? And so when they have time to listen to that voicemail, now they have time to kind of vet you a little bit. And if you've got a lot of engagement and maybe you're connected to a lot of people they know, all of a sudden you become more credible pretty quickly. And I believe that if you do that consistently, your returned call rates are going to go up significantly.
Very good. So if we take a look at LinkedIn from a slow prospecting standpoint, Dr. Busy, one of the things that heads of sales tell me, CROs tell me, vice presidents of sales leaders tell me, is that they don't want their salespeople on LinkedIn. And they don't want them there because they fear, A, they're going to use it as an excuse not to do their outbound prospecting. So they use it as a way to avoid actually talking with people. But more importantly, they just think it's a waste of time. Like they spend all day long on LinkedIn and don't get anything done. And, you know, admittedly, I've seen my own salespeople do the same thing. They'll waste all their time on LinkedIn and they won't actually accomplish anything. But LinkedIn's tough. Like, I mean, it can steal a lot of your time if you don't have your day arranged or your blocks for LinkedIn arranged the right way. And I'm just curious from your standpoint as a professor working with students, I know you're talking about LinkedIn in the classroom. How do you teach your students how to leverage all these different types of technology, including AI, in a way that allows them to still do the fundamental basics of selling, which means that we have to go actually and have conversations with people without allowing it to completely and utterly consume them?
Yeah, so you mentioned an important issue, Jeb, the fact that on one side, LinkedIn to many seems to be a waste of time because they don't do it right. There is a powerful concept you discuss in your book. You talk about lions, purists, and strategic networkers. And the majority of people on LinkedIn tend to be purists, meaning that there are people that basically interact with their friends on LinkedIn. They don't post regularly. They like to see what other people are posting. And they post once in a while because they get 200 likes. You have to switch from being a purist or even a lion that sends a message to everyone and tries to get everyone to a strategic networker. And a strategic networker is a completely different mindset in which you not only have to reach out to prospect or clients, but also, as you say, the suppliers, the distributors, the influencers, so that the perception of your network prominence increases. You mentioned another important point, though, which is it is hard work. It is hard work because it takes time. You see, what people like is that they want immediate validation. With outbound calls, I get immediate results. Building credibility and authority takes time. And the outcomes might be in a year, 2 years, multiple years. But we still have to do it. Because another important concept you mentioned is you learn through LinkedIn how to map the stakeholders and to really understand who influences the decisions and who doesn't. So LinkedIn is just an incredibly powerful tool for all of those reasons, and it makes everything much, much faster and stronger.
So Bryn, building on what Dr. Busy said, we think about the time investment. We did this book launch and I was on LinkedIn almost 24 hours a day, almost didn't sleep. And I replied to every comment. I, you know, had to think about thoughtful things to say to people. I was searching any time it mentioned, reposting those things, building things. By the end of the week, my brain is exhausted. I'm tired of it. And I don't want to touch it again. Mm-hmm. So I didn't like for the whole weekend. And I felt bad about it because I've got a book we're launching and we're working on things. So I got back on it again. But I would imagine that for, you know, a salesperson who would go read the LinkedIn Edge and they would jump in the middle of it, they would go throw all their energy into it. And then they get burned out. So what's your best advice for people to be able to, I don't know, put a governor on that a little bit so that they can be consistent, but not like, I don't know if this makes sense. Like,
yeah, it does.
Like have it just completely
Absolutely.
Burn you out.
So I think it needs to get integrated into your daily activity. There are definitely time blockings for some engagement and content, but generally, most of what I recommend or we recommend is to kind of integrate it into your day. You know, I talk about when I first got email in 1992, I sat in my manager's office saying, where do you think I'm going to fit this into my day? I'm really busy out there selling. How am I going to use this email thing? Well, we can't even imagine life without email. So that's how I've become with Sales Navigator and LinkedIn, where it is just integrated, right? Like if I'm dialing, I've got the profile pulled up at the same time. I know now how important it is to look at opportunities right from their profile as I'm having conversations. I am never, ever in any kind of online conversation without LinkedIn being part of that. If I'm emailing them, I want to see who do we have in common? What do we have in common? So although we're slowing down our outreach some, in many cases, and not for the SDRs and BDRs, but for the strategic account managers, a little bit slower can speed up the outcome.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I think for the complex seller, for the strategic seller, for enterprise account executives, LinkedIn is a powerhouse. So when we move from fast to slow, we start moving into that range where for those particular sales professionals, there is a finite number of opportunities that they have in their system. So I ran into an enterprise account executive last week. We were just having a conversation. I just asked them how many total accounts do you have? And their entire universe was 80 accounts. Now, inside those 80 accounts, there were 20 or 30 people in each of those accounts that they needed to know because these are really large corporations. And that's where slow prospecting really begins to pay off. But again, we go back to this pace, right? You could spend all your day there and do nothing else. And for me, like it's about blocking specific time for specific activities and doing that every single day. Because when you start getting into, you know, showing up in the stream and building familiarity and mapping out and connecting with all the stakeholders and, you know, building thought leadership and your expertise, that does take time and effort. So for me, it's like, how do you like block the calendar in a way that you can do your LinkedIn and then you can move on from your LinkedIn task? And that may be a little bit different than like integrating LinkedIn into your daily world, like just doing the tasks.
Well, so some of the tasks, for example, I know I have a scheduled call with a client. We did a great job. It might be, you know, just you know, tell me what else you need, or it might be even an opportunity to cross sell them on something. But I am 100% of the time going to be connected to them on LinkedIn, and I will have searched their connections. So if the time is right, I can say, you know, Jeb, I'm so glad we've been able to do X, Y, and Z for you, and it's so successful. You're connected to 19 people I'd love to get in front of. Do you have 5 minutes where I can quickly run through those names with you and get your thoughts? Right? And so, yeah, that's a little bit slower, but that's in my day. I look at my calendar. How many people am I talking to that I'm not on a prospecting call with? So I won't do this to a prospector, but I'll do this with another vendor, a networking partner. If someone's selling me, I will connect with them and pull up a list of people they know that I want to know, because I'm just going to run those names by them, you know, just out of curiosity. We have a lot of people in common, and there are a few people you know that I'm trying to get in front of. I convert every single one of those as best I can to referrals or permission to name drop. So while it might be, you know, how do I integrate that daily? I love the thought leadership part. That is not the outbound stuff that is converting that I'm doing every day. Those are the block times, right? Content and engagement, those are the block times. But the way I integrate it into my day is I make sure that every conversation that I am having, I know all about them, who our shared connections are, and ultimately who they know that I want to meet, because that's where the gold is.
Yeah, so there's also another interesting point that you discuss, which is the better than nothing.
Yeah, BTN, right? Exactly.
And this is interesting. So it's important to integrate it in your daily activities, even if you do just a little bit, because it creates a habit. So it goes in the science of habit formation and the idea that our motivation doesn't come before our action, but is reinforced. So the action actually triggers more motivation. This is why it's essential to integrate it in the daily activities, not only because, well, you need to reach your goals and you have your metrics, but because by doing so, you're constantly reinforcing the motivation of going through LinkedIn. And all the activities become more organic. And I will also say more pleasant.
The BTN framework, I love, better than nothing. So because what we're talking about is from a prospecting standpoint, okay, so, you know, we're building funnel, we're building outcomes. It's every day you do a little bit. And over time, that cumulative impact begins to show up. Well, your network gets bigger, your network gets more dialed in, your communication gets better, you're showing up in the right places. And what from my standpoint, when I start looking at LinkedIn, my LinkedIn block is early in the morning. Typically, I get up, like this morning, I got up in the dark and I went upstairs and I spent about 45 minutes doing all my LinkedIn work. And I haven't looked at LinkedIn since then. So it's like you got a time block, you do a little bit every single day. And the better than nothing routine, it's built on a James Clear's Atomic Habits, but there's never going to be a zero day, right? Every single day, I'm going to do something on LinkedIn that allows me to advance my world. Even building a profile, like you want to build out your profile so it's a lead generation machine, it takes a lot of time. And we've got some cool frameworks in the book that allow you to very quickly build out messaging for your profile. But I went and rebuilt my entire profile. It took about 10 hours of work to do that, but I didn't do it in a 10-hour stretch. I just set up a little bit of block. My LinkedIn block was every day. I'm going to do a little bit more of things. I still got a few things to do, but that time blocking allows you to work LinkedIn into all the other things that you have to do. And that's my point for heads of sales and sales leaders, is that LinkedIn can become a complete and utter waste of time for your salespeople if they don't have a plan when they're walking into LinkedIn. And that's different than like having LinkedIn up as, say, a CRM, or like Zoom Info for us is open all day long, or HubSpot's open up all day long, and you're using those tools fluidly. I like what Bryn said. It's more in line with your entire sales methodology and sales motion, versus there are particular tasks you got to do on LinkedIn, just like there are particular tasks when you're doing
CRM
phone calls, right? Or I got to build a list every single day. So I think the BTN thing, I'm glad that connects with you. I dig that. Cumulative impact.
Dollar cost averaging.
So you've got students now, Dr. Busy, and Bryn, you're working, like, for example, you do a lot of work with bankers. Mm-hmm. Dr. Busy, you were talking about the purist versus the strategic versus the lion. I know this has got to be true for your students, and I know probably for bankers who are just like first using LinkedIn. I know when I first started using LinkedIn, Lori Richardson, by the way, is my very first LinkedIn connection. But it was easy when someone wanted to connect with me to just take everybody. Like, people would connect with me. It was flattering. And even now, I kind of feel bad when I don't connect with people and I just delete them off.
So I don't do that. I actually will reply to them almost always and say, thanks for the connection request. Typically only connect with people I know may ask how you found me, because you never know.
And I would love to do that, except for I'm getting 4,000 connection requests a day. And the ability to do that. But people feel bad. Like, they feel like they're putting someone off to say no to them or even to ask that question. How do you get the discipline to accept the right people? And I'm talking about the emotional discipline to say, I'm not building my network so that it's really large.
Mm-hmm. That's
I'm building
lion.
It so that it's the right network. And I'd love to hear from both of you on that. And Bryn, why don't you go first?
So the lion is the LinkedIn open networker. It was actually a thing. People actually at one point had it on their profiles, right? And so the LinkedIn open networker was like, I will connect with everyone in the world. By the way, you max out at 30,000 connections no matter what. So it's not going to happen. And I know 30,000 seems like a lot. But now we've got this, it's really like going to a conference and walking around and just collecting business cards without having any conversations. It's the yellow pages. It's absolutely pointless to do that, for sure. The purist is like, I go to a networking meeting and I walk in a room and I make a beeline for my colleague that I sit next to every day at work, and we talk the whole time. I never get to meet the new people, right? So the networking is when I look at this profile that just asked me to connect, and I say, if I were in a conference with them, would I want to have a conversation with them? That's like an easy yes, right? If I'd want to have a conversation, I'm going to accept, and I'm going to start a conversation with, thanks for connecting, may I ask how you found me? Right? That's where I'm going to start the conversation. They asked me to connect. I want to know. And that will typically start, oh, I saw your content, or I read your book, or, you know, Jeb likes something and I found you, right? There's so many reasons to start those conversations. And ultimately, when you've decided they are someone I'd want a conversation with, and I say yes, you've just got to start the conversation. A connect and forget is just as bad as no connection at all, really, generally. The other thing I will say is, what I think is really vital is, if you look at someone, perfect banker client, ignored all these connections of people he didn't know. There was someone in Spain that connected with him with no note. He's like, I work in Philadelphia. I have no use for anyone in Spain. Well, when we sent that note, sorry for the delay, it had been 6 months, but sorry for the delay, just saw your connection. May I ask how you found me? And her reaction was, oh, we were setting up our U.S. headquarters in the Philadelphia Navy Yard, and we were looking for a local bank, but we got covered. Thank you. So the point is, you don't know. And that's why I accept the people I'd have a conversation with. I send a note to everyone else, and no one's getting the kind of connection request you're getting. So you're Jeb, right? Like you're going to get that. But across the board, salespeople aren't.
Yes.
And so it is manageable to most of the time to have that reply. And you can reply and forget. If they never respond, fine. If they respond with something you don't like, ignore. But I always like to put it out there just in case.
Gotcha. How about you, Dr. Busy? What's your philosophy in who you let into your network? And I ask that question because I think most of the time we're talking about, like, salespeople, like, how do I get people to accept my connection requests? But we never really talk about, okay, they're incoming. Who do you take?
So I have done some research on social network structures, and I think I have a nice answer for this. As you mentioned, the typical mistake of people is to believe that the more connections I have, the better it is. It is not the number of connections that matters. It is the position in the network structure. And this is what you have to consider every time you choose whether you want to accept someone or not. Three issues are essential here. One is, how many connections does that person actually have? And how prominent is that person in the network? Being connected to individuals who are prominent in the network increases the perceived prominence that you have. A second important point is the concept of bridging. You can be a bridge to someone, or someone could be a bridge through for you. So by reaching out to these individuals, you can tap into a network that you probably do not know. And this is where value could come to. And a third important concept is the concept of network closure, which is somehow similar to the concept you mentioned of social proximity. How many contacts do we have in common? Now, this is extremely important because the more contacts you have in common, the more credible you are perceived and the more trusted you are likely to be. So it is important to always understand what value can this person bring if I add them to my network, and how can it reinforce not the total number of contacts that I have, but the position that I have in the social structure, which ultimately determines my influence and my prominence.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that to both of your points, the people that are in your network, when someone's looking at you, like a customer's looking at you, if they see other customers like them in that network, it's part of your personal brand. If they see vendors or people that are in their space or their industry, it's part of their brand. It also determines what information you see. Like when you're in the stream and there's industry information coming at you, if you have people that are related to what you do in your network and you're following them or connected to them, you're more likely to see that information, which allows you to repost and reshare and curate content. One of the things that I want to shift to is mistakes that you see on LinkedIn. Ugh. And in the book, we put several examples of people sending really bad communication on LinkedIn. But there's a couple of things that I'm struggling with, and I want to hear from both of you on this. Like, number one is people spelling my name wrong when they send me a message on LinkedIn. I mean, your profile's right there. How can someone get your name wrong? And two, like, not knowing anything about them. I mean, I get it on a purely cold email. I get it on like a purely cold call. Like, you call somebody up and I do that all day long. We pull a list. I don't know anything about you. I'm just calling, set an appointment. I honestly don't need to know anything about you unless you set the appointment. That's how I work on cold calls. But I mean, when you're sending an email or an LIDM, where there's like written or it could be a video or a voice, I'm looking at you, Bryn, but explain to me the malpractice. How is it possible that if you're on the freaking platform, you could send something that is so generic that it would look like you didn't even look at their profile?
So I'm going to say there's one answer. They hired a VA that English is their second language, and they're just having them send out mass messages.
Okay.
If they're using AI or automation, then your name is going to be spelled right. So if it's spelled right, I mean, that's really it. They're looking to do this at scale, and they've decided to hire a VA to do it. That's really what's happening.
Dr. Busy, you got anything on this? I'm blown away. Like, you're on LinkedIn, like the entire point. And Bryn made this the very first time we started talking about this book. It is the largest self-updating database in the world. How is it possible that you're communicating with someone and your communication comes across as if you know nothing about them?
Well, I think the main reason is because people really do not understand how important it is. You write in the book something very relevant, the idea that people accept your connection request for their reasons and not yours. Mm-hmm. Well, most of the times you think about your reasons and you have to invest time understanding what the reasons are. But the good news is that LinkedIn allows you this opportunity. You can literally see changes that happen in their job, or the part that we discussed, the changes in the job, is so relevant. It's such an easy way to establish a connection, but people don't do it. And it's becoming more and more important to do it. Why? Because LinkedIn is getting overwhelming for many individuals. And to stand out, you need to build a differentiation. And that differentiation can only be achieved if your message is personal, and if you spend effort truly understanding what triggers them and what is likely to create conducive conversation.
I love that. And they're telling you, right? I mean, they're in the stream. They're writing things. They're posting things. We have this segment on the podcast called Ask Jeb. And this guy showed up yesterday to ask me a question. And I had just seen him on LinkedIn, and he had been following and liking things that I've been posting. And as soon as I got on the phone with him, I feel like he's my best friend.
Absolutely.
Like, I love this guy. Right. You know, so it
he made you matter.
Yeah, he made me matter. And it was just right. Like I recognized his face. And I think that's the thing when I think about prospecting and pipeline building. And when we think about interrupting and engaging people, even it's slow or fast, LinkedIn gives us the ability to build familiarity, like almost like a movie star, right? I see your face over and over and over again. Human beings, we're wired to see faces and recognize them. When we go back to having a little bit of time on LinkedIn every single day, it's that process. But that requires strategy. Like, it's not just like random acts of LinkedIn. Like, you got to be thinking about, like, have I targeted someone? I'm showing up every day. We use this concept of five S's, but showing up is one of the S's. That's the key, isn't it? I mean,
well, it's a big piece of it, right? And I think it's absolutely vital that we're building a network, not always about who we know, but that they know us, right? So as we build that network, engaging on their content matters to them. And then, so we now matter. If we start just sharing, hey, this is how I can help you, or I'd love to share how we've helped a company like you do this, and you haven't earned the right yet, they're getting hit every day with 75 of these messages that are pitching them. But if it starts with, I'm liking your stuff and engaging on your stuff, then when I share my stuff, you care. And I think that's a big piece of this. And not enough people do that. And, you know, we have in the book, we talk about the 10 to 1 ratio. You've got to engage 10 times more than you post. For every one post, you've got to have engaged with 10 other people. Not only does it help the algorithm and people see your stuff, but all of a sudden, like, you matter in their world. I had one of my friends shared the book. She's like, Jeb engaged on my content. Like, it was a famous person engaging. I'm like, yeah, like, I know you. Like, yeah, of course. But it was so meaningful, like, famous Jeb, and I've read 9 of his books, and, you know, it worked. There's, you know, fanatical prospecting is on every desk, and now he engaged in my content. Like, you could have sent her 50,000 pitches, and none of that would have mattered nearly as much as you took the time to engage on the content she shared. So when we do that as salespeople, now may not be quite at scale or at that level, but, you know, people are sharing content, they're getting 3 likes. If you're number 4, you matter. If you're the first comment, you matter more than any pitch you can ever give them.
Love that. So Dr. Busy, now I really want to like step into your student shoes, these young minds that you're teaching. When you think about them and building out their LinkedIn platform and this concept of familiarity. So familiarity is just prospecting lubricant. It is social lubricant. Even seeing someone's faces, if you're getting out of school, you're in college, because there's a lot of students who are in sales programs and business programs who watch our podcast. What's your advice to them for starting now to create that persona, that personal brand, so that people recognize them and pull them in versus them always having to push their way through the door?
Let's talk about the concept of familiarity, because it's very fascinating. I explain the reason why it matters. And for me, the major mistake that people make is that they do not understand the true reasons why continuous exposure yields benefits. They understand the rational reason. They understand that, if I bring my message multiple times, people are more likely to understand that message. Good. That is the rational reason. But there is a way more powerful reason, which is a subconscious reason that makes familiarity strong. You see, in evolutionary psychology, we say that in the ancient times, if you would see someone multiple times and that person does not attack you, that means that person is not a threat. So our brain has learned to process exposure and familiarity as a sign of safety. And safety is connected with trust. So by simply constantly exposing yourself, you're not just making your comments or your messages easier, but familiarity is linked to safety. Safety is linked with comfort, and comfort is linked with trust. And this allows possibility over time with consistent exposure to gain a trust that would otherwise be impossible to get.
That's beautiful. It's the in-group selection. So if you speak the same language, if you're familiar with me, it's safety. It's getting helping people get past the status quo bias. It's lowering risk. It's what we talked about last time, Dr. Busy. It's passing through the five decisions. Do I like you? Do you listen to me? Do you make me feel important? Do you get me in my problems? And do I trust and believe you? And familiarity, like, it makes all of that move so much faster. That was just the most beautiful point. All right, I'm going to get you guys to think about something before we wrap up, okay? So we're just going to do a little bit of a round, but we're going to do a couple of our favorite LinkedIn features, like, so like little Easter eggs. And I'll go first to give y'all time to think, because I know I sprung it on you a little bit. So your fight or flight might be kicking in. But one of my favorite features on LinkedIn is the ability to put a video on your job profile. So you can go into like the resume part of LinkedIn, and you've got your role. My role is CEO of Sales Gravy. I've changed it to customer centric CEO of Sales Gravy.
I love that.
So, but you can go in and open it up, and then I'm able to put videos of me on my profile, or I can put documents on that profile. And what I love about that as a sales professional is that I can have a profile, like my job CEO, where it just says what I do, or I can have my job CEO where it demonstrates that in that role, I gained experience and I was able to help other people solve problems that I'm uniquely qualified to solve. But that ability to put multimedia in on like any job post, like even like the LinkedIn Edge book, like I put my role in as an author at Wiley, and then I put the video that we made for the LinkedIn Edge on that job profile. So I beef up what looks like a resume and I turn it into a sales sheet.
I love that. My favorite feature, hands down, the reason I started teaching LinkedIn in the first place, is the ability to search and filter your connections. There is no other tool in the entire world that comes close to that. You know, when I started in sales, all I wanted to do was jump over the desk of my client and pull out his Rolodex so I can review it. Well, we can do that digitally, right? And my business is where it is today, and my clients are where they are today. Really, all the other stuff matters, but not nearly as much as that social proximity piece. Who can introduce me to the people I want to meet? I can enter into those conversations with a high level of credibility. And, you know, for me, that's the most powerful way to prospect.
Love that. Dr. Busy.
Well, my favorite feature is going to be what you just mentioned before. I didn't even know it existed and I haven't used it, but that's the first thing I'm going to do today after the possibility of using multimedia and a video. to present yourself, that seems to be fantastic to me.
And we were talking about the feature section. And the feature section, which a lot of people don't use, like you can feature a post or what have you, but I put lead gen content in there. So I'll put a download, and then people download it and they fill out a form and we get their information. Featured is wonderful. And by the way, services, you can do the same thing. So all your services, every one of your services, so all the things that you're good at, not only does that lift you up in search, and we should never forget that LinkedIn is just one big giant search engine. So the more services you have that create search, but each of those services that you do, you can put a multimedia element to that. Each of the things that you're expert at, you can put a multimedia element of that. And it's amazing that LinkedIn allows you to do that. Like if you just think about, like it truly is building your own web page on your profile. I love that.
Yeah, that's why I call it the landing page. That's your landing page.
Another cool feature that I like is the ability to go into the search bar, and I can't explain, I'd have to show you how to do this, but you can actually get a QR code of your profile. So when I'm at a conference and we want to connect, I just pull my LinkedIn QR code, and sometimes we'll just print them on the back of a badge.
Yep.
And then people hit that and then they connect. All right, give me another one.
So I love that. I'm going to play on that. I love if you're at a conference and you are used to having tables of paper that people throw in a bag and then throw away and never read. Put those PDFs in a smart link, which is part of Sales Navigator. Print out the QR code, create a QR code for the smart link, print it out, and have people scan that QR code. All the content is there. You now see who has it. So you've collected all of those leads and you can see how many times have they looked at it. You can create incredible follow-up around that. And if your CRM is connected to Sales Navigator, you can just add them right in as lead opportunities. And so I absolutely love smart links used in conferences.
Love that. Dr. Busy, you got another one?
Yeah, well, I usually post links to my articles on LinkedIn, and I think that is very powerful. The idea we mentioned that you have to create value for the network around you. So access to resources, white papers, whatever you can. This is great because they feel that you're not just trying to sell something, but you're providing active value through the content that you share. So I post a lot of links to my articles with the Financial Times, the Harvard Business Review, that also signals that you have some sort of credibility while at the same time providing value to them.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And those are things you can put both in your features section and in your services section. One of the things that I love, and you use this often, is if you're sending a LinkedIn DM, so there's LinkedIn direct messages and there's InMail, but let's say I posted a video and LinkedIn is really leaning hard in the video, and I take that post and I share that post with Bryn, that video plays in the direct message, like the post on LinkedIn, natively.
Yes.
It's really cool how that works.
The little paper airplane at the bottom of every post from a human being, it may not be available in company pages all the time, but if you've posted that video, you can actually send it to 10 people blind copied at a time. The same thing with a poll. You can send a poll and they can vote on it right inside of their DM.
It's amazing. You think about this thing, you think, I can't believe LinkedIn lets us do those kind of things. So, I mean, it's that process of being able to shoot a video and send it to someone and have it play right there is powerful. Dr. Busy, one more.
Well, what I use it a lot and I like to say is to explore the network connection of who is who. This is not specifically a feature, but you can see who is connected with, and that gives a possibility to understand the position of everyone in the network. And I like always to see not just my connections, but who their connections are so that I can tap into different networks. And that's powerful.
And along with that, we go into really good detail in the book is setting up alerts so that you get alerts when people change a job, you get alerts when people post things, you get alerts when things change or things happen so that you don't have to remember everything that's happening in their world. That's super powerful for busy salespeople because, again, we go back to fast and slow prospecting. If you're fast prospecting and you've got a list of people that you've got qualified, you're probably connected with them on LinkedIn and you're probably running a slow sequence against them playing long game. But if suddenly one of them gets promoted or changes a job now, and this goes back to your point earlier, now I've got a point where I'm calling them up, not necessarily as a prospecting call, but I'm calling them up as a human call to say, hey, Dr. Busy, congratulations on that amazing promotion you got, you know, or going to the conference or what have you. that alert system, super, super, super powerful. I'm going to give you my last one, and then we'll end with Bryn. One of my favorites is, again, difference between InMail and LinkedIn direct messaging. And we won't go deep into it, but there's entire sections on here on the differences in the two. But it's one of the most unused tools that you can that are in LinkedIn DM. You got to be connected with someone first degree, and it's voice messaging. The LinkedIn direct messaging app allows you to leave a voice message. So these days, voicemail is all kinds of places. You can leave voice messages on WhatsApp if you wanted to, but you're able to leave a voice message. It's amazing because people listen to voice messages. And the reason that they do is because they're curious. Because if you get the DM, the direct message, and there's just a recording in there, you're going to push the button.
There's FOMO.
Yeah, no. So
right.
That's one of my great features. Bryn, last word on the features.
Well, so before I give my last one, also, you can also send a direct video message to someone as well. And I love that. And there's over a 90% response rate on that video message. So I absolutely love that. So the last feature I'm going to talk about that I absolutely love, and this is something that very few people do, is you can filter by followers of. So I did this, and Mark Hunter knows I did this, but I went into all of my first degree connections that met my ICP that followed Mark Hunter. And I did a podcast with him, but you can do this for lots of other things. And I went to every single one of them and I sent a link to all my first degree connections. Hey, I see you follow Mark Hunter. I was blessed to be on his podcast. If you're interested, and they were all permission based, if you're interested, let me know. I'll send a link. I got about 150 responses of yes and the link. I ended up on 7 phone calls after that and 2 closes. So I leveraged an influencer. By the way, you don't have to be connected to them. So maybe I'm not connected to Mark, or maybe I go out and I say, I want to see all the people that follow Mel Robbins or, you know, whatever, right? And I can send content about that influencer to my ICP that follows them. And that is that's slow prospecting.
Oh, it is. Because Mark's got like 120,000 followers. He's gonna.
Well, that's why I used him.
That's right.
Right, but Mel Robbins has.
But you're talking about to the first degree connections of yours.
My first degree connections.
Yeah, that's good.
That follow that influencer. Now I find a great piece of content and say, "Hey, I know you're a follower. Came across this. Let me know if you're interested." The reason I don't send it is let me know if you're interested. They have to say yes. There's FOMO. They don't get it. If I send it, they can always come back to it. If I don't send it, there's FOMO. But it also starts the conversation. Even if yes, we've got two ways going.
And by the way, as the fanatical prospector, I totally dig this. What I would do is I would get that same list. I would run it to get Zoom info. I'd get all their cell phone numbers and I'd just call them.
Same thing.
So
yeah. Yep. Well, better.
Different.
Really even better. Or in conjunction. But the concept, the strategy is so powerful because there is no other way to find out who their influencers are.
That's bad. That's awesome. All right. Okay, Dr. Busy, I'm going to give you final words. We're going to walk around the horn here and we're going to close this thing up. Your final thoughts on the LinkedIn edge and how people should be transforming their relationship with LinkedIn.
So my final thoughts on LinkedIn edge is that the time is now. This is not just a great book because of the content, but it's a great book because of the time. I believe there is a strong ROI in investing on LinkedIn for sales, but I don't know if the window of opportunity will always be open as much. Because as more people will understand the value of LinkedIn for sales, it will become more crowded. And getting attention will become more and more difficult. So the time to get educated and to understand the potentials of this tool is now. And so that's why I strongly recommend everyone to get and buy the book as soon as possible, because the window of opportunity is open, but it will become less and less open the more people will understand the potential of this powerful tool.
Beautiful. All right, Bryn, you want to wrap us up?
Yeah. So if you're in sales, which you are if you're listening, and you want to use LinkedIn, which you do if you're listening, make sure you don't do this in random acts of LinkedIn. You've got to have a plan because there are black holes and rabbit holes everywhere. And, you know, you kind of dive in and go, this is really cool. There's a lot of cool rabbit holes you can go down that don't convert. So it is so important that you have a playbook, that you know exactly what you're doing. We actually have a course that's coming up on Sales Gravy that will kind of put out like, what is my sales navigator time management? You know, what am I doing on a daily basis? If you don't do this, you will end up saying that was a waste of time. And your boss is going to say that's a waste of time. So you've got to have a plan. Do random acts of social, random acts of LinkedIn is going to get you random results. And sales does not work with random.
And to tie into that, this brand new book, The LinkedIn Edge, in part two, all of part two is about building that plan, getting your strategy together, leveraging your time the right way, building LinkedIn into your daily cadence so that you have time for all the things that LinkedIn can give you, and you're able to do all the other things you have to do in sales, to close business, keep your income strong, and keep your boss happy. Thank you, Dr. Bizzi, for joining us. Thank you, Brent Tillman. This is a game changer book. This is a pure prospecting book. This book will, when I say transform your relationship with LinkedIn, it will transform your relationship with LinkedIn, and it will meet you where you are as a sales professional. What I love most about this is you can literally open it up and go to any chapter, and you can start there. You can go through and go nonlinear. You can only focus on the things that are important to you. And no matter how you go about prospecting, there's something for you in this book. There are how-tos. There are amazing new frameworks like the PIPA framework and the FIRE framework for building messaging. And each of those has got dialed in AI prompts attached to them. So not only are you able to leverage the framework, but you're also able to tap into whatever AI you're using right now to make LinkedIn work better for you so that you have more time to sell more. Go pick up this book. It is a number one bestseller. It is crushing the charts. The reviews are starting to come in. People love this book. If you're a fan of Fanatical Prospecting, I guarantee you're going to love this book because it plugs right in. I've been excited about this book. I've told everybody that I know that this is one of the best books that we've ever produced. This book will change your life. Go get the LinkedIn Edge. And this is Jeb Blunt, and I'll see you next time on the Sales Gravy Podcast. Hi, I'm Jeb Blunt, bestselling author of Fanatical Prospecting, Sales EQ, Objections, Inc., and my brand new book, The LinkedIn Edge. You know, companies and people from all over the world come to me to get answers to their toughest sales and growth questions. And that's why I created Ask Jeb. It's a segment on the Sales Gravy Podcast where you can come and ask me anything. If you want to get on the show, just go to salesgravy.com/ask. That's salesgravy.com/ask. One of our great producers will get you on and you can ask me anything about sales.
Nooks brings prospecting, emailing, and parallel dialing into one single workflow. Their AI agents handle the busy work so your reps can focus on what matters, live conversations. Stop wasting up to 80% of the day stitching tools together and start hitting your numbers with Nooks. Go to nooks.ai to see how artificial intelligence plus human intelligence equals more pipeline. That's nooks.ai, N-O-O-K-S.ai.